The World's Great Novel. The National Broadcasting Company presents the third and final episode in its dramatization of Robert Louis Stevenson's great story of the adventures of David Balfour, Kidnapped. Another of its series of books that live, The World's Great Novels.
Rain. It was falling in torrents. My clothes had not been dry since the Covenant struck the reef and the tide race flung me on this barren isle. In my pocket, my finger touched the silver button Alan had cut me from his fine French coat. Had my Jacobite friend been drowned in the wreck? And what of my kidnappers, the crew we two had fought aboard the ship? My head swam with my loneliness. I thought of the fishermen who'd passed my island, and my heart burned. Why had they refused all my heaved shots for cry? Some had even laughed. If only I'd learned to swim. A narrow channel separated me from the Scottish mainland, and the fine estate of which, as I now knew, I was the rightful owner and laird. Yet, here was I, hungry, and for 2 days now, not even a fisherman had passed by until...
A boat! A passing boat!
Ahoy there! Help! Don't pass me by! Don't talk Gaelic! What are you saying?
Tide! Deep! Tide!
Yes? Yes, tide. Oh, you mean when the tide's out.
Is tide.
So that was it. I could wade to the mainland in low tide, wade to safety and food to eat and dry clothes and my rich inheritance. Just wade. I could have done it days ago.
Good day to your friend.
Good day. Do you know aught of the ship that's wrecked out yonder?
Aye.
Have you seen any of the crew?
They broke bread in my house 3 days agone.
Then all were saved?
Aye.
Thank the Lord. One was dressed like a gentleman, yes?
Well, the first, the one that came alone, wore breeks and stockings. What? What? But you must be the lad with the silver button.
Why, yes, of course. Oh, here, look.
Why did you not say? Couldn't I be sure you were of the honest party?
Why, yes, I... Alan Brick.
Shh, what is my... Shmon. My name's...
But the gentleman we both ken left a word for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're to follow to Appin by way of Torosay.
Aye.
Use your button till you come to the Stewart country. Once there, you're to speak to nobody and avoid all Whigs, Trembles and English redcoats.
Very well.
And now, if you'll take a bite to eat, we ought.
In Torosay, I was warned that Colin Campbell, the king's agent, him Alan called the Red Fox, was in Appin, forcing the evacuation of all the Stuarts, and that I should beware of redcoats. That evening, as I sat to rest beside the road.
Sir, which road to Acharan?
Hold! Here, Sheriff, is a warning. And what seek ye in Acharan, my lad?
The man that lives there.
James of the Glens.
Who else?
Is he gathering his clan, do you think, Sheriff?
If you're concerned for me, I'm an honest subject of King George, owing no man and fearing no man.
Why, very well said. But why does this honest man seek James of the Glens? I have power here. I am king's agent on these estates and have 12 files of soldiers at my back.
Sheriff, Mr. Colin Campbell.
You know my name. And my nickname, too, it seems.
I've heard that you're a hard man to drive.
Well, your tongue is bold. But I'm no unfriend to plainness. If you...
What happened to it?
The fox.
I'm dead.
Here, let me see.
No, too late. Take care of yourselves.
There's the murderer, running up the hillside. The man in black, with the fowling piece. Come on, don't let him get away.
Get Holmes, men, if you take that lad, he's in it.
Now they're chasing me. The fools. The fools.
Duck in here, Davy.
Huh?
In here. Come on the trees.
Now, down in the bracken and be still.
Colin Breck Stewart.
Be still. Now, they're all ahead of us. We crawl on our bellies and go back the way you came. Do as I do for your life. Well, yon was a hot burst, David. Why do you keep your face in the heather? Are you still wearied, lad?
No.
What then?
You and I must part.
What?
I like you very well, Alan. But your ways are not mine. And they're not God's. And so we must part.
I'll hardly part from you, David, without some kind of a reason.
You ken very well yon Campbell man lies in his blood upon the road.
So, you think I had a hand in that?
Well, didn't you?
I'll tell you first of all, Mr. Balfour of Shaws, that if I were going to kill a gentleman, it would not be in my own country to bring trouble on my family and clan. And I would not go lacking sword and gun, and with this long fishing rod upon my back.
Well, that's true.
And now, I take out my dirk and swear upon its holy iron that I had neither art nor part, act nor thought in it.
Oh, thank God for that. Here's my hand on it.
Oh, David, lad, you must have cast a spell on me. I can forgive you anything. Now, but we've little time to chatter. Both of us must flee this country now.
You're a Jacobite and a deserter from the Jing English army, but why me?
You're involved in the murder of a king's agent.
Oh.
All up and will be set. And everyone obliged to give a good account of himself.
Oh, I've no fear of the justice of my country.
As if this was your country. And as if you'd be tried here in the country of the Stuarts.
Where else?
Man, this is a Campbell that's been killed. It'll be tried at Inverara with 15 Campbells in the jury box. And the biggest Campbell of all, and that's the Duke, sitting on the bench.
Where would we flee?
To the lowlands. To your own country. But mind, you'll have to lie bare and hard and suffer many an empty belly. Your bed shall be the moorcocks, and your life like the hunted deer's. And you shall sleep with your hand upon your weapon. But it's stake to the heather with me, or else hang. Well, Davy?
I go with ye.
And so we set out, two hunted men, to journey afoot across the highlands. The first dawn found us running for dear life. Throughout one hot summer's day, we lay frying atop a tall rock while sentries patrolled within a foot. We traveled only at night, and for the first part of our journey at least, every glen and valley was lined with red-clad soldiers, and all of them instructed to look for me. Finally, after 3 weeks, we came out at the Highland line and looked out at my own country across the wide River Forth. We hoped to slip across the bridge of Stirling to Queen's Ferry, where I should find Mr. Rankler, but the bridge was very closely guarded, and so we determined to go to the Firth of Forth, there to find a boat and a boatman to put us across. We bought bread at a small inn near the firth. And later...
Did you take heed of the lass at the inn who sold us this bread, Davy?
Aye, and a bonny lass she was.
Then we turned back.
Well, in the name of all that's wonderful, why so?
It might get us that boat.
Well, if it were the other way about, it would be liker it.
Now, I don't want the lass to fall in love with you. I want her to be sorry for you. There's no need she should take you for a beauty.
Well, I'm no beauty after 3 weeks in the heather.
You'll do fine for my purpose. You have a good hangdog, rag and tatter, clapper my claw kind of look to you, as if you'd stolen the coat from a potato bogle. Well, here we are back at the inn.
Well?
Now, I'm going to do a bit of play acting, the bottom ground of which is just exactly as serious as the gallows for the pair of us.
As you will.
Now, hang upon my arm as if you're helpless with weariness.
Oh.
Now then.
Oh, let me help you to the chair. Oh, dear. What's wrong with him?
Wrong? He's walked more hundreds of miles than he has hairs upon his chin. And slept oftener in wet heather than dry sheets. Wrong, quoth she.
He is young for that.
Over young. Here, try to eat some of this bread, lad.
He'd be better riding.
And where could I get a horse for him? Would you have me steal?
You need not tell me. You're gentry.
Well, did you ever hear that being gentry put money in people's pockets?
No, that's true indeed.
Let me be, Alan. I'm better already.
Has he no friends?
That has he so. If we could but win to them. Friends and rich friends. Beds to lie in, food to eat, doctors to see him. And here he must tramp in the dubs and sleep in the heather like a beggar man.
And why that?
Oh, my dear, I cannot very simply say. For I'll sing you a bit song. For Charlie is my darling, my darling, my darling. For Charlie is... That's it, lass.
Bonny Prince Charlie himself. And him so young.
Old enough to hang.
Oh, it would be a black shame.
It's what will be, though. Unless we can manage the better.
I'm thinking, sir, that you've a rather long tongue.
Aye. But I know the folk I speak to.
I'd never betray you.
You're not that kind. But I'll tell you what you would do if you'd help.
Oh, I couldna now, couldna.
No, but if you could. There are boats in Fife, for us or two upon the beach. Now, if we could use one and have some secret, decent man to bring it back again and keep his counsel, there'd be two souls saved. If we lack that boat, we have but 3 shillings left in this wide world. Are you to lie in your warm bed and think upon us, lass, when the wind howls and the rain beats on the roof? Are you to eat by a red fire and think upon this poor sick lad biting his fingernails on a boor? Sick or sound, he must aye be moving. With a dead grapple at his throat, he must be trailing in the rain. And when he breathes his last on a heap of cold stones, there'll be no friends near him, but only me and God.
Oh, see.
Did you ever hear of Mr. Rankler of Queen's Ferry?
Rankler, the lawyer?
It's to his door I'm bound. You may be judge that if I'm an ill-doer.
Well, Mr. Rankler's a known man. You must take some food, then go down to the beach and lie up in the wood. I'll find some means to put you over somehow.
Very good of you to row us over yourself. I cannot find expression for my thanks.
There's no need. Lose no time. And hold your peace. Goodbye.
Goodbye, lass.
Ah, it's a very fine lass.
Aye.
A very fine lass.
She saved us both. Now to see Mr. Rankler.
Not I, David.
Hmm?
Well, it's safer for me to lie in the fields and starve for nobody. When you return, give me a sign.
Very well. The sign shall be this.
'Tis a lowland air, but 'twill serve.
Come in. What can I do for you, sir?
My name is David Barford.
Oh? And where have you come from, Mr. David Barford?
Many strange places, sir. But I've reason to believe myself some rights on the estate of Shores.
Mm-hmm. Have you any papers proving your identity?
They're in the hands of Mr. Campbell of Essendean and could be produced. I don't think even my uncle would deny my identity.
Meaning Mr. Ebenezer Balfour?
The same.
Did you ever meet a man of the name of Hoseason?
Oh, I did so, sir. It was him at my uncle's instigation that I was kidnapped and carried to sea. Suffered shipwreck and 100 other hardships.
You say you were shipwrecked? Where?
South of the Isle of Mull.
The ship was lost, let me see, June the 27th? And we are now at August the 24th. There's a considerable hiatus, Mr. Balfour.
Well, before I tell my story, I'd be glad to know I'm talking to a friend.
I cannot be your friend till I'm properly informed. If you were more trustful, 'twould better befit your scarcity of years.
You're not to forget, sir, that I've already suffered by my truthfulness and was shipped off to be a slave by the very man that is your employer.
No, it's not as bad as that. I was your uncle's man of business. But on the very day of your sea disaster, your friend Mr. Campbell of Essendean stalked into my office, demanding you. I'd never heard of you, but I'd known your father. Mr. Ebenezer admitted having seen you, declared for what seemed improbable that he'd given you considerable sums, and that you'd started for the continent of Europe to fulfill your education. Interrogated how you'd come to send no word to Mr. Campbell. He said you'd expressed a desire to break with your past life. Those were his replies. I'm not sure that anyone believed him.
Oh, I should think not.
He disrelished certain expressions of mine and ended by showing me to his door. Then there came to me this Captain Hoseason with a story of your drowning. Whereupon all fell through. No. You can judge if I may be trusted.
Sir, if I tell you my story, I must commit a friend's life to your discretion. Pass me your word that you'll be sacred.
You have it. But if your story contains any little jostles with the law, I beg you to remember that I'm a lawyer and pass lightly.
Certainly, sir. The friend I mentioned is one you may have heard of. Alan Brixton.
Name no unnecessary names, Mr. Balfour. Above all, if any are of Healanders, many of whom are obnoxious to the law.
Well, it might have been better not, but since I've let it slip, I may as well continue.
Oh, not at all. It so happens that I'm somewhat dull of hearing, and I'm far from sure I caught the name exactly. We'll call your friend, if you please, Mr. Thompson.
As you will, Mr. Ankler. This, then, is my story. At the time of the death of my father...
Oh, really, this is an epic, a great odyssey of yours. Mr. Thompson seems to me a gentleman of some choice qualities, though perhaps a trifle bloody-minded. You're doubtless quite right to adhere to him.
Oh, yes.
Well, since we've now agreed on a plan, tomorrow we'll walk up to meet your bloodthirsty friend, and with his assistance we'll... shall I say, settle a hash of Mr. Ebenezer Balfour. So you see, Mr. David, that's the entire story of your uncle. Mr. Ebenezer, incredible though it may seem, was a dashing figure in his youth, admired and beloved, but woefully spoiled. Your father, the elder brother, was a kind gentleman, but dolefully weak. These two fell in love with the same lady. She took your father. He, through some queer reasoning of his own, felt constrained to agree with his brother that, as one had the lady, the other should have the estate.
What exactly is my position?
Oh, everything's yours beyond doubt. It matters nothing what your father signed. Ye are the heir by the law of entail.
Oh, this is where we stop and look for Mr.
Thompson.
Aye.
You never thought to look up, Davy. I was watching from the tree above your head.
Oh, Alan. Mr. Enkeler, this is my friend, Mr. Thompson.
How do you do,
Alan, that? Please to remember that name. Mr. Enkeler is a lawyer.
Ah, it's not a name I relish, but in present circumstances, no doubt it's a cautious one.
Exactly, Mr. Thompson, and I must say I'm pleased to meet you. And now, if you'd lend me your arm, I'd like to tell you how we plan to approach a very wicked old man.
Mr. David and I will remain behind this bush, Mr. Thompson. When you've reached the proper stage of your conference, we'll make our entrance.
Aye.
This blunderbuss is loaded.
Is that yourself, Mr. Balfour?
What is this? Is it a time and age for decent folk? Who are you?
What brings me is more of your affairs than mine.
And what is?
David.
What's that?
Shall I give you the rest of the name?
I'm thinking I'd better let you in.
Oh, but would I go? It's here upon this doorstep that we must confer upon this business. Here or nowhere.
I am a blunderbush. One step nearer and you're as good as dead.
And a very civil speech, to be sure.
I'll sit here on the top step.
You'll have perceived that I'm a Hieland gentleman. Well, the county of my clan is not very far from Mull, and it seems there was a ship lost in those parts. Next day, a gentleman of my family was seeking wrecked wood for his fire along the sands, when he came upon a lad that was half drowned.
Half, did you say?
Aye, only half. My friend brought him to and clapped him in a ruined castle, where from that day to this, he has been a great expense to my friends.
I'm listening, man.
Now, my friends, finding the lad owned some decent folk, and was your born nephew, Mr. Balfour, they asked me to call on you and confer upon the matter. I may tell you that unless we can agree on terms, you're little likely to set eyes on him, for my friends are nowhere we're very well off.
I'm not very caring. He was not a good lad at the best of it, and I've no call to interfere.
I see what you be at, pretending you don't care to make the ransom smaller.
No, it's the mere truth. I take no interest in the lad, and I'll pay no ransom.
Good, sir. You cannot desert your brother's son for the fair shame of it. And if it came to be known, you would not be very popular.
I'm not very popular the way it is. And it would not come to be known by me, nor yet by you or your friends. So that's idle talk, now, Bucky.
Then it'll have to be David that tells it.
How's that?
Just this. My friends would keep your nephew as long as there was any likelihood of money to be made of it. But if not, they'll let him gang where he pleased.
Aye, but I'm not very caring about that either.
I was thinking that.
And what for? Why?
Why, Mr. Balfour, either you like David and would pay to get him back, or else you've good reasons for not wanting him and would pay for us to keep him. It seems it's not the first, so it's the second.
I do not follow you there.
No, well, see here. You don't want the lad back. Well, what do you want done with him? And how will you pay? Come, sir, I'm no rider to kick my heels at your front door. Either give me a civil answer, or by the top of Glencoe, I'll ram 3 feet of iron through your vitals.
Hey, man. Oh, give me a minute, man. What's wrong with you?
I ask for nothing but plain dealing. Do you want the lad killed or kept?
Oh, man, that's no kind of language.
Killed or kept?
Keep it. We'll have no bloodshed, if you please.
Well, now, that'll be the dearer.
Dearer? Would you foul your hands with crime?
Hoot, they're both crime. And killing's easier, and quicker, and surer. Keeping the lad'll be troublesome.
I'll hem keep it, though. I never had nothing to do with anything morally wrong.
You're uncommon scrupulous.
I'm a man of principle. And if I had to pay for it, I'll have to pay for it. And besides, you forget, the lad's my brother's son.
Well, well. And now, about the price. Oh. Before I set a name to it, I'd have to ken some small matters. For instance, how much did you give Joseason at the first off-go?
Joseason? What for?
For kidnapping David.
Oh, it's a lie. It's a black lie. He was never kidnapped. He lied in his throat that told you that. He never was.
Well, that's no fault of mine, nor yours, nor yet of Joseason's. If he's a man that can be trusted.
What do you mean? Did Joseason tell you?
Why, you done it, old runt. How else would I know? Joseason and I are partners. What did you pay him?
As he told you himself.
That's my concern.
Well, I do not care what he said, he lied. The solemn God's truth is, I gave him £20. But I'll be perfectly honest with you. Besides that, he was to have the selling of the lad in Carolina, which would be as much more, do you see, but not out of my pocket.
Thank you, Mr. Thompson. Yeah? That will do excellently well. Oh. Good evening, Mr. Balfour.
Good evening, Uncle Evan.
Well, Davy.
And so I came into my inheritance. By getting my uncle's confession in the presence of three witnesses, we avoided the possibility of his bringing his false claims to Shaw's into court. I had no wish to prosecute. I let him have a small income and allowed him to stay on temporarily in the house. As for my friend Alan Breck Stewart, from him I had to take a most painful parting of my life. For his own safety, he had to be shipped to France. But the lawyer and I were able to see to it that he did not go to his friends there, the poor man he was, when aboard the ill-fated ship the Covenant, he first demanded brandy from a cabin boy called David Balfour.
Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson is one of the world's great novels brought to you each week by the NBC University of the Air. Listen next week to the first episode of Henry James' novel of 19th century New York, Washington Square. And don't forget that your local public library invites you to make use of its many facilities. To add to your enjoyment of this series, we recommend the Handbook of the World's Great Novels, which you may obtain by sending 25 cents to World's Great Novels, Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27, New York. That's Post Office Box 30, Station J, New York 27. Kidnapped was adapted for radio by Clement Fuller. The music was composed by Emil Soderstrom, and the orchestra was directed by Bernard Berquist. The entire production was under the direction of Homer Heck. Bill Fine was featured as David Balfour and Larry Alexander as Alan Breck. Mr. Rankiller was played by Jonathan Hole. Uncle Ebenezer by Sherman Marks. The Lass by Geraldine Kay. The Crofter by Charles Mountain, and The Red Fox by Howard Hall. This is John Conrad, and this program came to you from Chicago and is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.